So this will be part two of our discussion about kusis in the light of Rashi Shita, that kusis is Geri Araya saying, and therefore she has the status of a nochris. Tosus objects, how then can the Mishnah establish that you pay knas in this case? Do we pay knas to a nochris? In any event, Rashi holds that you do pay knas to a nochris, hence in the case of kusis, Geri Araya, you pay knas. And here we have a chiddush of Rabbi Kiveger and the Hafla. And that's what we began discussing yesterday. We want to, in Ritz Hashem, finish it up today. They're bothered by another question. Not ka'ozla ve'ochla b'giyusa, but they're bothered by the problem of kanoim pogimbo. And if you combine two sugyas together, one in Avodah Zarah and one in Sanhedrin, you end up with a real kash on Rashi. Because on the one hand, the Gemara in Sanhedrin establishes that there's kimlev the rabbi minei in a case of a rodev. And on the other hand, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah establishes that in a bal akusis is kanoim pogimbo. And Kanoim Pogibo has the same status as a Rodev. Meaning, just like in the case of Rodev, Nita Latzilo Benafsho, so too in the case of Kanoim Pogibo, we're going to take his nefesh. And that should be enough to activate the principle of Kimlev B'Rabin. It just as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, with regard to a Rodev, he doesn't pay damages because Nita Latzilo Benafsho, the same logic should apply in the case of Kanon Pogibo in a Baal HaNochris. And here's where the Hafla and Rebbe Kiveger have to come up with a new explanation to justify why we don't say Kimlev B'Rabmine in the case of Baal HaNochris, which is Kusis according to Rashi. Why do you pay Knas? What happened? By what virtue do we suspend the principle of Kimlev B'Rabmine and force the Boel to pay a Knas? And they're not willing to say that we're talking about a case of tzina, and Kanoim Pogimbo is only befarhesia. That far they're not willing to go. That would be a very dochuk ukimta to say that the Mishnah only applies if it's tzina. So if we assume that even befarhesia, the Mishnah establishes that you pay a knas to a kusis, and number two, we assume like Rashi that a kusis is a nochris. Well, what happened to Kanon Pogimbo, which applies when there's a public act of immorality with a non-Jewish woman? So they come up with the following thesis, that it's possible that somewhere along the line there was Gerus, even though Rashi is telling us that Gerarias have, that's the original kusim, but over the course of time, with generations that passed, many of these kusios blended into the Jewish people and they accepted true, genuine gerus. So we can never be absolutely certain about this particular kusis, whether she's in fact a nochris or she's a bas Yisrael. And that creates what we call a suffik chiv misa. We don't know whether to apply Kanoim Pogimbo, because we're not sure that this woman is in fact a nachris. And therefore, if we're not sure whether Kanoim Pogimbo applies, then we're going to have to suspend Kimlev D'Ramine. Because again, the Kimlev D'Ramine depends upon a Chiv Misa. But if the Chiv Misa is in question, and as a result of that question we suspend the din of Kanon Pogimbo, then it's not going to be Kimlev D'Rabmine. Hence, Rashi is right that in our Mishnah you pay Knas to a Kusis. All this is based on the assumption that maybe this Kusis is not really a Kusis. She's not the descendant of the Geri Arayas, but rather she's a descendant of some mother along the line who genuinely and sincerely accepted Yadus. And this concept that a suffik misa will remove Kimlev D'Rabmine seems to be reflected by Rashi in Masechta Bava Kama in the case of Madlik Gedisha Shel Chaver B'Shabbos. We're not sure if he needs the Efer or he doesn't need the Efer. Now, normally we say that if a person burns down something on Shabbos and he needs the Efer, that becomes Melechas Havara B'Tikun, then you get Misa for that. And as a result, if let's say we're absolutely sure that this guy is not just Stam crazy and he wants to destroy his friend's Gaddish, but he desperately needs the Efer, and that's his purpose of burning down the Gaddish of his friend, in such a case, paradoxically, because of the nature of the chiyuv, and it's an absolute certain chiyuv of Melechas Havar, he will be exempt from paying damages. Hence, the Mishnah in Baba Kama says, "Madleges gedisha shabachavero, potumi tashlumin shekem eschay benafsha." But what happens if we're not sure whether he needs the afer or not? In such a case, it's a suffik tikkun, suffik kilkul, suffik chiyuv misa, or not chiyuv misa. So Rashi says, in such a case, that we cannot potter him from Tashlumin. He burnt down his friend's Kodesh. He's going to have to pay for that Kodesh. Why? What happened to Kim Levi the Rabbine? Well, it's a Suffolk Chiyuv Misa. In a Suffolk Chiyuv Misa, we don't apply Kim Levi the Rabbine. We're not sure why. I mean, that's going to be our discussion as we go along. But in any event, the Rabbi Kimeir and the Afla will build castles upon castles based on this Rashi and Bava Kama and conclude with a new principle that Suffolk Chiyuv Misa is not included under Kimlei of the Rabbine. And we first at Hakofa Aleph, and this was as Shiv yesterday, we thought that the reason why a Suffolk Chiyuv Misa does not allow for Kimlei of the Rabbine to be activated, we thought it was because in order to apply Kimlei of the Rabbine, you need a Chiyuv Misa befall. What that means is that we have the possibility of implementing that Chiyuv Misa, of implementing the Onish Misa, that is Kimlei Rabbine. But if it's impossible for us to implement the Chiyuv Misa before, for example, in the case of Safe, then there is no Kimlei Rabbine. Well, that can't be true. And that we proved yesterday from the halacha of Chayve Misa's Shogigin. That means even in the case where you cannot implement the Onish, we look at the Maisa and we determine whether there's a Maisa Avera over here. And if there's a Maisa Avera, even though he's a Shogeg and Bezdin will not implement the punishment of Misa, that's enough to activate Kimlei the Rabbine. And if that be the case, we're really stuck with this Rabbi Kimeir. And now it's true that in the case of a Kusis, because of the possibility that she's a Bas Yisrael, we will suspend the implementation of Kanon Pogimbo. But nevertheless, we have the precedent of Chaim Misa Shogigin, that even when we suspend the Onish Misa, but nevertheless we look at the Misa, and if the Misa is defined as a Misa which could generate a Chiyuv Misa, again we're missing certain conditions. For example, instead of a Mezid, he's a Shogig. Here also, in case instead of a Vada, he's a Sofeg. So we're going to still say that Kimlei of the Rabbine applies. So don't tell me, Rabbi Kivega, that we cannot apply Kimlei of the Rabbine because Lamaisa, we're not going to allow Pinchas to kill Zimri here. There won't be a Kanon Pogimo because maybe she's not a Kusis, but she's a Basi. So don't tell me that. The din of Kimlei of the Rabbine applies to a Chiyuv Misa even if we cannot implement the Onish of Misa before. All we need is a Maisa that could be royal a Chiyuv Misa. That part is up, Mama. So therefore, even in the case of Suffolk Chiyuv Misa, we have a possibility that there's a Chiyuv Misa here, and that would knock off the moment. Now you may say to me, well, maybe the burden of proof is on us, if we want to impose a Knas to prove that there is no Chiyuv Misa here because she is a Jewess. No, that's not true, because Hamotzi Mechavela Faraya. The burden of proof is not on us to prove that she's a Bas Yisrael, but rather the burden of proof is on him to prove that she's a Kusis. Meaning he wants to say I'm Potter. He wants to say I'm Potter because she's a Kusis. Well, who has the burden of proof? Do we have to prove that she's a Bas Yisrael in order to justify the Knas, or does he have to prove that she's a Kusis, a Nachris, in order to justify that he's Potter from Tashlumei Knas? And the answer is Hamotzi Mechavela V'Araya. It's not his proof. He doesn't have the burden of proof to prove that she's a Nachris. We have the burden of proof in order to force him to cough up the Knas to prove that she's a Bas Yisrael. So why then does our mission establish that in the case of kusas, you pay the knas? Why should you pay the knas? In this case, hamotzi mechavela v'raya. Maybe she's not a kusas, but rather she's a bas yisrael. Hence, there's no chiyuv misa, and hence he would have to pay the knas. We don't know whether she's a bas yisrael and therefore he has to pay the knas, or she's a nachris and he's exempt from the knas under the halach of kanoim pogimbo and a chiyuv misa. In such a case, we should paskin that he doesn't have to pay the knas. If we don't know whether he has to pay the knas or not, then go prove that he has to pay the knas. Prove that this girl is a bas yisrael and he has to pay the knas.
Rebbe, well, if you're making all this big assumption, which is a huge assumption, that maybe she's a bas yisrael, why don't they also then assume that there's a possibility that she's actually an eishes ish?
Well, I think she has a cheskes pnuya. In other words, unless there's a call that there were eidim that saw that she entered into a chuppah, then we, you know, we have every right to assume that she's a pnuya. Not only that, she's a nara, and on top to boot, she's a basula, because she never had a relationship with any other man. So we have all the conditions necessary for knas minus one, and that is maybe she's a nachris and kanoim pogimbo. Well, we don't know. So if we don't know, then the burden of proof is on us to establish that she's not a nachris, that she's a bas yisrael. Until that point until that evidence is induced to establish that certainty, he has a right to say, "I'm not going to pay knas." So how do we justify our Mishnah that he has to pay knas?
So they wouldn't assume that she could possibly be an arusa.
No, unless there's some sort of an edus to that effect. Every woman, you know, any woman you marry, I mean, the Gemara has a case of a shliach, that the shliach died on the way, so we don't know who he was mekadesh, but otherwise every woman has a cheskes pnuya, and we assume she's not married. That's not our issue here. Our issue is hamotzi mechavero all of Araya.
Right.
Now, yesterday we had a long discussion about the Rabbi Chanan. Rabbi Chanan comes up with a whole new Yalfusa to establish that in a Suffolk you don't apply the principle of Kimle B'Ramine, and there's an absolute chiv to pay knas. Okay, that was yesterday's discussion. So where are we holding today? Today we're on page Tzadi Gimel, and we're looking at paragraph number Mem Aleph. Now, the thrust of what we're going to see here is based on a Rashbam in Baba Basra. I saw this in Rashi in Makis. I don't know why he has to quote the Rashbam in Baba Basra, but it doesn't matter. They both say the identical thing. Here's the case. We have a principle called Safek Nefashas Lahakel. The Gemara talks about a Jew who throws a stone that might land on any one of 10 people that are in a group. And if those people are kavua, that's called kol kavua kemechzal mechzadami, then we're going to apply the principle of safek nefashas lahakel. So we can't possibly kill, even if he was amazing, you know, we gave him asro, he said, don't throw this stone, you might kill a Jew. Let's say there was one Kanani in the group, there are 9 Yisraelim and 1 Kanani. So the law is that kol kavua kemechzal mechzadami. We don't know if he killed one of the 9 Jews or he killed that one guy. We're going to have to paskin that it's a suffolk. And if it's a suffolk based on kavua, then we have a principle called suffolk nefashas lahakel. Comes along the Rashbam and he says, you know why suffolk nefashas lahakel? Because Satan pasuk v'itzilu ha'eda v'shaftu eda v'itzilu ha'eda. And this appears in Rashi and Masechet Makis as well. So the whole veld stands up and yells from now till the heavens, how could the Rashbam quote a pasuk in Chumash for something that it's impossible to say otherwise? What are you going to do? You're going to kill this guy based on a suffix? Kol kavu kemechzal mechzadami. The Torah says, well, I'll give you a better case. There are 5 Kananim and 5 Yisraelim, and he throws a stone. So you're going to kill him based on a suffix? Who's willing to kill someone on a suffix? Not me. So why do you have to invoke the pasuk v'shaftu eli v'itzilu? Now he quotes Rabbi Elchanan. I heard this from my Rebbe, Rabbi Moshe Shapiro, in the name of the Brisker Rav. So it's either the Rabbi Elchanan or the Brisker Rav, they both came up with the same idea. But he doesn't embellish it, so I'm going to embellish it with what I heard from Rabbi Moshe in the name of the Brisker Rav. I don't know if any of you knew Rabbi Moshe Shapiro, but he learned by the Brisker Rav when he was all of 15 years old. And this is what he heard as a youngster, but it's beautiful. What the Rashi wants to tell us is that v'shaftei v'itzilu ha'edo. It's not just a suffix. It's not just that we can't put him to death because we're not certain about his guilt and his worthiness of being killed. No. V'shaftei v'itzilu ha'edo means that he's not a murderer. It's a vaday that he's not a murderer. The Torah is not letting us fall back on our svara of let's call him a suffix murderer. No, he's vaday not a murderer. And here's the added piece from the Brisker Rav. The shaftu eidu v'itzilu eidu is talking about the goal adam, which means that the Torah is telling you to save the rotzeach from the hands of the goal adam. Why? If you're going to tell me that he's a Safek Rotzeach, and then the Gol Adam took the law into his own hands and killed this guy, can we kill the Gol Adam? The answer is no, because he's also in a Safek situation, meaning on the side that this fellow is guilty because of the Safek and when he throws the stone and everything, then if he's guilty, then the Gol Adam is not guilty because he killed someone who killed his relative. Name. It means that we're going to paskin now that this person is not a rotzeach. Not that he's a suffix rotzeach, but he's a vaday eino rotzeach. And now if the Gol Adam takes the law into his own hands, the Gol Adam will be put to death. Because he's killing someone that's absolutely innocent. What makes him absolutely innocent? Don't consider it a suffix. Maybe he's a rotzeach, maybe he's not. No, he's a vaday eino rotzeach. Why? Because the Torah says v'shaftei v'tzili. Save him for the Gol Adam.
Is that especially by the Gol Adam, or is it just a rule because of the Kesus Kashrus?
If anyone kills him, according to one day, anyone could be the Gol Adam. But, you know, that's machlokes tanoim. So I don't want to get into that. All I'm trying to... The main point that I want you to get out of this whole discussion is that Safek Lefashis Lahakel is not a Safek. Safek Lefashis Lahakel is a Vaday. Right. It's not that we cannot implement the Onish because maybe he's guiltless. But the Pshat is if maybe he's guiltless, he is guiltless. And the Torah is telling you that it's not a Chayiv Misa. Not that maybe he's Chayiv Misa, maybe he's not Chayiv Misa. But he's not Chayiv Misa, you know, with an oof, with an exclamation point. He's not Chayiv. Now, how does this impact on Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the flaw that we started with? So this is what he wants to suggest. There's no equation between Chayiv Misa Shogigin and the case of a Safek Chayiv Misa in Kusis. Right? Kusis, we said, is a Safek because maybe she's a Jew. So we're going to say the following. In a case of Chayiv Misa Shogigin is a Vadi Ritzicha. We alleviate him of punishment because he didn't get Asra, he's a shogeg. But in the case of Baal Akusis, because we don't know if she's a Nachris or she's a Bas Yisrael, then we don't have a Safek Chiv Misa, but we have, by virtue of the principle of Safek Nefash Laka, we have a Vadei Eino Chayiv Misa. And therefore there's no Kim Levin Rabmine. So we've been analyzing this sugya as an attack on Rabbi Kivega from the perspective of a Safek Chiyuv Misa. Name, it's not a Safek Chiyuv Misa. There ain't no such animal as a Safek Chiyuv Misa. The Torah says in every case of a Safek Chiyuv Misa, v'shafto eilu v'itzilu eilu v'torah's vadai. And it's a vadai that he's not chayv. Well, if he's vadai that he's not chayv Misa, then he has to pay tashlumin, hence he's chayv in the knas. You want to see it inside? You know, everything I said was isovenic. Let's look inside. He says, Od yesh lefarish, the safek chiv misa lo domi lechayv misa shogin. The chayv misa shogin, there's a maisa machayv misa. He's really chayv misa. There's a ptur of onshin. What's the p'tur of onshim? That he's a shogeg. Avol b'sofek chiyuv misa. A man had a relationship with a kusis. We're not sure if she's a nachris or a bas yisrael. So what are we going to treat it as a sofek chiyuv misa? And maybe with hamotz mechavrei, we're going to pater him up from the knas name. Ein al etzam amaisa chiyuv misa klal, meaning that he's absolutely pater from misa. Not that we have doubts. In Metzias, we don't know. We don't know if this girl was a Yehudis, whether she's a Nachris. That's for sure. That's the Metzias. But Al-Pidin, he's not Chayav Misa. What does that mean? Not Chayav Misa with a capital N, capital O, and a capital T. He's not Chayav Misa. Not that he's a Sofek. He's Vaday not Chayav Misa. He's Mevela. If he's Vaday not Chayav Misa, you can't talk about Kim Levi the Rav Aminei. And this is based on the Rashbam in the case of a person who threw a stone into a group of people, and the Gemara applies the rule of Kol Kavur Kevetzal Mechzedomi Sofek Kefosh LaHakel, and therefore we're going to apply, according to Rashbam, the principle of a Shofto Eida Vitzilu Eida. Tosus asks the Kasha, why do we need a Pasuk? We can't kill him, he's Sofek. So here in the case he quotes Rabbi Chanan the Mikra from the Pasuk Vitzilu Eido Yalfinon. We were learning a brand new din. The Potter Mimisa Vitaris Vadai. That he's definitely not a Rotzeach. That's what the Torah is teaching us. And if that be the case, then there's no Chiyuv Misa at all. And how could it be Doche the Chiyuv Mom? This is a brand new way of understanding Rav Kiveg. Now, in order to appreciate this, we're going to have to learn two Rambams. One Rambam is in Hilchos Chovel Mazik, and on that Rambam there's a Hasogas HaRaivid, and then there's another Rambam in Hilchos Rotzeach. So let's take a look at these two Rambams. The first Rambam, you'll see in a paragraph that starts Varaya. This is the Rambam in the fourth paragraph of Chovel Mazik. And here's we're going to have a machlokas between the Rambam and the Raif. The other Rambam we'll get to in just a minute. That's the Rambam in Hilchos Rotzeach. Hanogef es ha'isha v'yotzi yiladehu mesa. So this is clearly a case of Chayvei Misa Shogeg, and she died, but he was a Shogeg. So Rambam says he doesn't pay the Mei Vlodos. Hainu, Mishum, the Chayvei Misa Shogeg, Yipturu Mitashlum. Says the Rambam, Bamei Dvar Amunuk Shinis Kavin La Isha. Aval niskayim lechavero v'nogaf es ha'isha af al pi shemesa hoel v'himisa v'lo kavana. Right, himisa here's with a mapik hay at the end. Hareze kidovar she'ein bo misas bezdin u'mashalim t'mei v'lodos. If the man had in mind to hit his friend and accidentally, let's say he ducked and instead he hit this woman, this pregnant woman, even though she died, there was no kavana. And since there was no kavana, it's called a dover she'ein bo misas bezdin, and therefore there's no kim levi d'rabbi.
Is that true also for something like Aish? If we say is guilty for what happens even after the fact, even later.
So you mean Koach Muruv Bo? Is that what you're talking about?
Right.
Again, what we're discussing here is a case of Niskavin Larogis Zev, Vahargis Acher.
Yeah. Okay.
And the Rambam Shita is that in such a case, it's Ein Bo Mises Bezdin. This is based on a Sugi Bava Kam, which you'll see on the top of the left column. Rav Adabar Ava says that Anoshim Sheniskavnu Zelo Zeh, Afal pishi yesh ason ba'isha. So they were beating each other up. They're in a brawl. Nobody had any intention of killing this woman. She was an innocent bystander. In such a case, the Rav Adam Arava says, ye onshu bidmei vlados, that these people who killed her will now have to pay dmei vlados. And the Rambam accepts the opinion of Rav Adam Bar Ava, and therefore he says, if it was niskaving lezev hargis zeh, then in such a case we don't apply the principle of kimle b'drabmine. You're going to have to pay dmei vlados, or whatever the case may be. Why? Says the Rambam, because hadavar hu davar she'ein bo mises bezdin. What does that mean? Ein bo mises bezdin. Wouldn't this be equivalent to the case of a shogeg? So Lecha Mishnah says, I don't get it. The Rambam in Hilchos Rotzeah paskins that miskaving lar gezev, har gezev, potter mi misas bezdin, u minat hashlum. Meaning at the Rambam paskins, chayvei misas shogegin, are potter from tashlumin. He wanted to kill Reuven, and instead he killed Shimon. And the Rambam is committed to say that he doesn't pay tashlumin. So you see clearly that even in the absence of kavana, you still apply the principle of kimle b'derabmeinu, because the Rambam paskins potur min hatashlumin. If that be the case, let's go back to the Rambam in Perek Dalet Milchus Chovel Mazik. We don't understand. The Rambam says that if he was niskaving for the man and instead he killed the woman, in such a case, the Rambam says that he doesn't. He has to pay. So again, on the one hand, Ilkas Rotzeach, the Rambam talks about miskaving l'argus zeh, v'argus zeh, and the Rambam says he doesn't have to pay damages, and yet the Rambam Ilkas Chovel Umazik says that if he had kavana for the man and instead he killed the woman, he has to pay damages. Why? Because there's no chiv mises bezdin. So what are we going to do with the Rambam Ilkas Rotzeach? It's a pretty head-on collision here between two Rambams. Please let me know if you want me to review it one more time. Can you tell me? I need that feedback. You know, I don't know if it's Muvan Mei Lav, then let's go on. I mean, like a Mishnah posits a stira between the Rambam Ilkas Chovel Mazik, when the Rambam says that he has to pay Tashlumin in the case of this Kavin Lara Gaseva Hargazet, as opposed to the Rambam Ilkas Rotzeach, when the Rambam says explicitly that this Kavin Lara Gaseva Hargazet potter me Tashlumin.
So in one case, the Rambam was not just saying he had no kavanah at all. That would be a different case. He's talking about both cases.
Right, he had kavanah for tzicha, but just not for this person, but for a different person.
If what if he had tzicha, but for no specific person?
That would also be enough. That would be like miskavin l'argus v'argus zeh. But what is the Rambam's view about kimle v'drabini in that case? Well, on the one hand, you might say that his kavin l'argus v'argus zeh is not like shogeg. There's really no Maisa Machayev here because he didn't have Kavana. But on the other hand, the Rambam himself says that it's Kavim L'Argasev Argasev Potomi Tashlumin, which means that Chayim Yisrael Shogigin applies here and we apply Kimlev Rambam. How do we reconcile that with the Rambam Ilchus Chovel Mazik, who says that you do pay Tashlumin in the case of Niskavim L'Argas Chaviro Vinogaf Esaisha? So at this point, he quotes the Achronim. He doesn't tell you who they are. That the Rambam holds that if there was no kavana, then forget about kimle b'derabmeinu. Why? Because that's not a ma'isa machayev. If he didn't have kavana, it's not a ma'isa machayev, and therefore he has to pay dmei vlados. We have the halacha of Chayvei Misa Shogegin, that's called Tanya Tana Debeit Chizkiyah. That's only in the case of Dmei HaNerag. As far as the Dmei HaNerag is concerned, there's a separate din. He calls it a din b'fnei atzmo. I'm not sure where this din is derived from. I don't know, he may have some posuk in mind. But whatever it is, there's a separate din that you don't have to pay the Dmei HaNerag. Now, what is the Dmei HaNerag? Let's assume he was alive and well. How much at his station in life would he bring in on a monthly basis if he was alive? If he was alive. So the Rambam says, Nin. In this case, he doesn't have to pay Tmeya Nerag. So it's not based on Kimleb the Rav Mine.
No, it's sort of like what Rav Elchanan said.
What do you mean? You want to apply the logic of Rav Elchanan?
Yeah. There never was any chiyuv.
So why is he potter in the case of Niskavi Largasev Argasev? I mean, what's going to knock off the chiyuv of paying for his loss of life?
Because
so you're going to have to say this concept called Din Bifnei Atzmo. You see that? That's on the fourth line here of the paragraph that starts with Bir Achronim. It says, Gak le'inyin Dmei Nerag, to be Einu Miskavi Gamkin Po, to be Dmei Nerag, for who din bifnei atzmo dolchiva torah tashlumin b'mako adam. So what's going on over here? I don't know enough about this din bifnei atzmo. I'm thinking to myself that maybe this din bifnei atzmo that he talks about is based on the laws of Rotzeach, meaning when we talk about Niskavin, Lerogazev, Elogazev, and he incurs the chiv of Tashlumei, Dmei Vlados, so now we're focused on a secondary chiv Mammon, meaning the chiv Mammon here has nothing to do with Ritzicha. He just simply killed the Vlados, and he has to pay for that as if they were Heftishal Mammon. That has nothing to do with Ritzicha. The Ritzicha was on the woman. So now you'll ask me, does he have to pay Dmei Vlados if he had Kavana to kill his friend and instead of he killed the woman? The answer is yes, because the Rambam says in such a case, there is no Chiv Misa because we're lacking Kavana. But if you'll ask me, is there a Chiv of Dmei Anerag? So then I'm going to say that Dmei Anerag is sort of a replacement for the Ritzicha. It's not some sort of overlap of, you know, coincidental overlap of a chiv mama, like a man shoots an arrow and he rips shirayim shel chaver. No, he's going to pay for the man that he killed. So the answer is, you only pay for the man that you killed if you had kavanah to kill him, and therefore you're potter. That's a din bifnei atzma. But if you're going to ask me, does he have to pay dmei vlados? Here the rabbi is going to tell you he has to pay Dmei Vlados. Why? Because he's not chayv as a rotzeach. He didn't have the right kavana. If he didn't have the right kavana, it's not a chiv misa at all. If there's no chiv misa, there's no kimle rabbi, hence he has to pay for the Vlados. Umevur de maisa ritzicha kazesh ator pocho so mimisa lo chashiv klal mechuyev misa. So that when do you say that there's a kimle with the rabbi? That's when you postulate a chiyuv maisa misa. Maisa misa means there was a maisa that would generate a chiyuv misa. But on the other hand, in the case of niskavin lezeh v'hargas zeh, There's no maisa that could generate a chiyuv misa. V'gara mechiyuv misa mechayve misa shogeg. The v'shogeg choshev bar chiyuv misa rachein onshin also. So he really does deserve misa because he's a rotzeach, but we cannot put him to death because he was a shogeg. But as far as the maisa mechayev is concerned, not the Ptur Onshin, but the Maisa Machayev, then what we have here is a real Chiv Misa. We have a Maisa, it's Machayev Misa.
But what?
Just 1 second. Aval Hecha Delo Niskavi Laragus Es Misha Harag is Mufka Etzem Chiv Shel Misa. Here, the Chiv Misa is not Shaykh, meaning it's not a Maisa of Ritzicha because it's lacking Kavana, as opposed to a case where he had kavanah, but he was a shogeg. He didn't realize what the law was. So let's read again. Then it's mufka bi'etzem achiv v'enkan kimle d'ramine. And that now we have to building up this whole structure, this whole mountain. Now we have to see, can we apply it to our Rabbi Akiva Eger in the case of a kusis, which we don't know if she's a nokris or a bas yisra. So we're saying the following: we always have to ask ourselves, do we have a maisa that would generate a chiyuv misa? Could be there's a p'tur onshin, but the maisa itself clearly generates a chiyuv misa. And the Rambam says in this Kavim Laura Gezev Har Gezev, we don't even have a Maisa which is considered like a Maisa Ritzicha that generates a Chiyuv Misa's Bezin. He says, Hachinami Yeshlom is Sofek Chiyuv Misa L'Pir Sharashpam Depotu B'Torah Svarei Mi'am Misa. Here's where we have to invoke the principle of the Rashbam, which, as I told you, is Rashi as well, namely that Vitzilu Eida takes it out of the geder of Ritzicha. It's not that he's a Sufik Rotzeach, but he's not a Rotzeach. But if he's not a Rotzeach, then it's similar to the Rambam in the case of Niskavi Lera Gezev Har Gezev, meaning there is a Machayev of Ritzicha. There may be technical reasons why we cannot implement the Onish for this Ritzicha, but the Maisa HaMachayev is there. Masha Enkein, in the case of Niskavi Laru Gezev Hargis Acher, here we're going to say that without Kavana, there's no Maisa Machayim. It's not just the Ptur of Onshim, but rather there's no Maisa Machayim. And if there's no Maisa Machayim, then we're going to apply the principle of Kim Lebe the Rabbin. Now you might ask me, well, what do you mean there's no Maisa Machayim? Maybe he's a Rotzeach. Because I shouldn't say Rotzeach, I'm sorry, forgive me for that. Maybe he's a Baal Anochus. You want to say that he's Chayav Misa on the tzad that she is a Nochris? So I'm going to tell you V'shafto Eidu V'tzilu Eidu. And what does V'shafto Eidu V'tzilu Eidu prove to me? That he's not Chayav B'Torah Zvada. B'Torah Zvada, he's not Chayav, let's put it that way.
In the case.
You understand? So again, there are three cases that are on the table, and one of them is in a category of its own, and the other two are in a category that's not the opposite category. But even in the two that are in the opposite category, they split into two different branches. So let's go with the following. There's one case which is called Chayvi Misa Shogigim, where we apply Kimle and Ramine, because we have the full Maisa Machayev. There is a Ritzich over here. And I can even go for a step further. I could say he had Kavana for this Ritzich. However, he was a Shogig. He thought that this person was not Jewish. He thought this person is Chayev Misa. You know, he thought he was a condemned criminal, so he killed him. So that's called a Shogig. And in this case, we do apply the principle of Kim Lev D'Ramine. Why? Because we have the Maisa Machayev. He really has all the trappings of a Rotzeach. He is a Rotzeach.
But you can't prove it.
Okay, we'll worry about proving it, but let's just get, again, you know, let's not get sidetracked, Alan. I just want to, you know, put out these three cases. So again, case number one, where we do apply Kimle V'Ramine, is we have a full-fledged Maisa Machayev. The only thing that's missing is Mezid. He was a Shogeg. And in such a case, we alleviate him from Onshim, but the Maisa Machayev is a full-fledged Maisa Ritzicha with a Chiyuv Misa. We're going to exempt him from the Chiyuv Misa because of the Shogeg element, but otherwise, we have here a Maisa Machayev Misa. Then we have two other cases where there's no Maisa Machayev Misa. One is when the Rambam in Hilchos Chovel Mazik says there was no Kavona. And if there's no Kavona, that's not called a Maisa Machayev Misa. Mm-hmm. Hence, the Rambam says you have to pay Dmei Vlada. So that's the Rambam in Chovel Mazik. Now we have a third case, which is again fit into this this case of niskaving lezev argus there, where there's a lack of kavana, but for a whole different reason. And that means that we don't know whether this woman is a kusis or a bas Yisrael. In such a case, you and I would have said this, there's at least a suffix to say there's a chiv misa, because kanon pogimbo. The answer is no. Because we have a principle of a shaftei levitzilu eda, which tells me that in a suffix case, we exonerate the person completely, and he's not chayiv at all, we don't have a chiv misa, period. So again, it's not exactly like the case of niskaving lezev har gezeh. In the case of niskaving lezev har gezeh, he clearly is a rotzeach, but he's also clearly not a rotzeach. What I mean to say is, he would be a rotzeach if he killed the person that he intended to kill, but as far as another person is concerned, we have no chiv mis at all. That's not exactly like the case that we're dealing with, Rav Kiveger of Anachris, where we're not sure if his be'ilo was a be'ilo with the Nachris or a be'ilo with the Yehudis. And that's what we're vacillating back and forth. Here, on the tzad that she's actually a Nachris, there would be a Chiv Misa. Now we have to introduce Vishavtei Divitzilu Eidu. And that's going to take it from the level of a Suffolk Misa to a level of Vare Enem Misa. That's not the same as this Kaving Lezev Argazet. In that case, the Rambam says that you do pay the Dmei Vlados. Why? Because there's no Mises Bezdin. No Mises Bezdin means that there's definitely no Maisa Machayev Ritzicha. Why? Because he had no Kavanah for this Ritzicha. In the case of the Be'ilas Kusis, he had a full-fledged intention for Be'ilas Kusis. We don't know if she's a Jewish or she's a non-Jewish woman, and hence we're going to have to suspend the Chiyuv Misa and the principle of Kanoim Pogimbo. But nevertheless, we cannot apply Kimlev the Rabbinah, because since the Kanoim Pogimbo Chiyuv Misa is in doubt, right? It's suspended in air because we don't know if she was a Bas Yisrael or not. Therefore, we're going to apply the principle of Vishavtei Devitzilu Eidu, and we're going to make it into a Vadei Eino Rotzeach. And if it's a Vadei Eino Rotzicha, then for sure he's going to have to pay the Tmei Vlodos. Again, so what we're saying here is that in and of itself, the Maisa of Be'ilu with the Nachris is enough of a Maisa with Mezid and so forth to be Mechayev him Betoris Kanon Pogimbo. But now that we have a suffix, there's no kanon pogmo. But the suffix is not just to suspend the implementation of the onish of kanon pogmo. The suffix goes much further. The repercussions of the suffix is that Vishatay the Mitzile is going to tell me that there is no chiv mis at all.
Why is it that? Because it's all tole on the person himself's haggadah. Because he's saying that I didn't have kavanah for the person that I did the maisa to.
No, it's obvious. Look, somebody was standing here. He dropped, he dropped his head, and as a result, when the guy was swinging, instead of hitting him, he hit somebody who was standing behind him. Right. But there's no question that this is a metzius of his kaving laragasem argasem. We know that's the case because that's the reality. That's the metzius. But the question is he chayev misa? So the Rambam says he's not chayev misa. He's missing a basic ingredient in the mechayev of misa. Hence, if there's no chayev misa, we're going to apply the principle of let him pay dmei vlados. We don't have a principle, we cannot activate the principle of kimlei raminah. Kimlei raminah only applies with the chayev misa. You'll ask me from chayev misa shogin, there's a full-fledged maisa ritzicha, just that we can't punish him. It's a dinin onshin. It's not mafkir, the maisa ritzicha. In fact, you could prove that from all the dinim in Masechta Makos that in the case of Chayav Misa Shogegin, he is a rotzeach. I mean, there are many, many proofs for that, and many dinim that based on the fact that he is a rotzeach. If he is a rotzeach, then we're going to apply the principle of Kimlev the Rabbanim, even though the onish will be suspended because he's a shogeg, but we have all the ingredients that we need to set up Kimlev the Rabbanim, namely we have a Maisa Machayev Misa. Not so in the case of this Kavim Lavar Gesev, Hori Gesed, there we don't have a Maisa Machayiv Misa. In the case of Baal Alakusis, we do have a Maisa that's Machayiv Misa. But we're in doubt. And this doubt, if it remains a doubt, would potter up the Boel, the Ma'anis from Knas. But we're not going to allow it to be a doubt. We're not going to leave it as a doubt. We're going to take that doubt and obliterate that doubt. And the Torah demands that we consider it as a Vadai Eino Rotzeh. Well, if it's a Vadai Eino Rotzeh, then there's no Chiyuv Misa, and hence the Reb Kiveger and the Afloh say you have to pay the Knas. Now take a look at the paragraph Umavuar. The Meiser Ritzicha Kazesh Ator Pacho So Mi Misa Lo Choshev Klal Mechuyev Misa. Right, this is the case where the Torah patters you up. And again, you could say the Torah patters you up either because you didn't have the right kavanah, or the Torah patters you up because we have a suffix. In this case, what the Torah is going to tell you is that if you don't have a Vadai Meiser Ritzicha, then the Torah patters you petoris vada and says you're not a rotzeh. The gara, but that's not the same as chayiv misa shogigin, where there is a chayiv misa just a petur and onshin. Aval hecha shalon is kaving laragus misha harad haviyafkos etzem maisa chamachayev, and therefore there's no din of kimle bidirami. The lack of kavod, the Rambam holds that we're going to slap him with a penalty of paying to make lotus. We're going to suspend the principle of Kimlev the Ramine. And the Ram says, why? Because Ein Bo Chiyuv Misas Bezdin. Why is Ein Bo Chiyuv Misas Bezdin? Because he didn't have the right kavana. And if he didn't have the right kavana, that's not a Maisa Ritzicha Machayev Misa. What about a Suffolk case? That now we have to invoke the principle of the Rashbam. That in the Suffolk case, the Torah says you're not chayav misa at all. There's no chayav misa, period. If the Gol Adam would kill him, then we kill the Gol Adam. Again, all this is based on the Rambam in Hilchos Chovil U'Mazik, where the Rambam establishes that it's coming lower Gesem or Gesem pays to make lotos. The Ravid there disagrees. Not only that, there's going to be a Tosis later on who disagrees. What's the Ravid's point? The Ravid's point is that even in the case of Niskavi Lara Gezev Har Gezev, he is a Rotzeach. And therefore we can apply the principle of Kimlev the Rabbi. He's actually Mechuyev Misa. Again, I don't think for one moment we could put him to death because he didn't have Kavanah to kill this person. But nevertheless, we're going to apply the principle of Kimlev Ravine because we consider this as a Chiyuv Misa. As a Maisa Ritzicha Machayev. Okay, Rabbi, so let's go on to page Tzadi Dalid, which is Os Mem Beis. And he says the following. We have Rabbi Chunya ben Akon. Rabbi Chunya ben Akon has an equation between Krisos and Mises Bezdin. Just like Mises Bezdin, through the principle of Kimlev Ravine, knocks off Achiv Mammon, so too Achiv Krisos will knock off Achiv Mammon. Now Tos wants to know, what would Rabbi Chunya ben Akon say about a case of Shogeg? We have a principle that in the case of Chayiv Mises Bezdin, even Shogegin, Pturit Minat Tashlum, we apply the principle of Kimlev Ravine. What would happen if he was Chayiv Kares, but he was a Shogeg? Now, this question becomes very relevant in the frame of reference of Rabbi Kiveger. Because Rabbi Kiveger said that in a Suffolk Chiyuv Mises Bezdin, you don't apply the principle of Kimlev Ravine. So again, if in Misas Bezdin we have a principle called Safek Nefashas Lahakel, and what that means is Eino Chayev Misa Misafek, what about the case of a Safek Chiyuv Kares? Let me just, I had it before, I want to think it out again. So what do we say now? That Rav Nechunya ben Hakana will apply the principle of Chayvi Nisa Shogigin to the case of Chayvi Krisus. What's going to be in the case of Safek Chiyuv Karis? So we said that in Safek Chiyuv Karis, there's no Kibble Midrav Nine. I'm sorry. In a Safek Chiyuv Misa, like we don't know if Kanoim Pogubo or not, whether what's her status, so then we said that in that case we suspend the principle of Kibble Midrav Nine. Now what happens if we have a similar case of Chayvin Krisus? But do we apply the logic of an equation between Chayvin Krisus and Chayvin Nisus Bezdin? So we said in Chayvin Nisus Bezdin, in the case of Sofek, he does pay the Knas, he does pay the Momen. And the reason for that is because the Torah makes Sofek into Vada. Are we going to say the same thing in the case of a Chiyuv Karis? What would you say, Rabosa, if I asked you for an intuitive answer without reading the rest of the paragraph?
In the Kashpura, there's no
Sofek Klapi Shmaya. You can say that in the case of a Sofek Nochris, we have to suspend the Chiyuv Misa because of Kanon Pogobo. You can't kill this guy. Maybe she's a Yisraelis. And hence, we're going to go a step further, the extra 9 yards of the Rashbam, and say that now there's definitely no Chiyuv Misa. But how are you going to say that in the Safek Chiyuv Karis? Safek Chiyuv Karis, Klapi Shmaya Galya, that either he's Chayav or he's not Chayav. I will be Safek Chiyuv Karis, the Klapi Shmaya Galya. Gavis Safek Chayav Kares. As for us, it's a Safek, but Kapishmai Galya that he's Chayav Kares, and therefore Mimela Niftar Mi Safek Tashlumen, because of Hamotzi Mechabel of Arayim. You hear what he's saying? A beautiful Cheshbon. I don't know who he's quoting here. Let's just see. Tov. Oh, again, he's quoting Rebbe Elchanan. So Elchanan is saying the following. This is a real bona fide suffix. You can't make this suffix into a vadai because you can't enter into HaKadosh Baruch Hu's cheshbon. Now, if you talk about Mises Bezdin, you could say that a suffix is a vadai. That's v'shafto eidu v'tzilu eidu and suffix v'fosh lahakya. But in the case of Kares, what are you going to say? That this suffix is like a vadai? Kapishmaya Galia up in heaven, they've already decided whether these guys are Kares or not. So we have a suffix. And if we have a suffix, then we're going to have to say that Motzi Mechel Varai, you can't force him to pay money when there's a suffix. But now he applies he comes to the opposite conclusion by applying a more mechanical approach. And that's the Yalfusa. He says that what is the whole thrust of Rav Nechunya ben Hakana? Rav Nechunya ben Hakana has the word Asan, or the way Rava has it, he has an equation between Karis and Misa, but it always comes down to Chayve Krisis Yalfida Mi Chayve Misis Bezdin. So now we have a principle called Dayel of Oben Adin Lios Kenodim. You can't derive from Misis Bezdin a situation of Ptur Tashlumen. When, if the whole basis for Kibble the Rabbi in Chiyuv Karis is derived from Chiyuv Mises Bezdin, then in Chiyuv Mises Bezdin we're going to establish that he's part of him. You can't tell me that in Chayvi Krisus he'll be Chayav. Why? Because the whole institutional enterprise of Kibble the Rabbi in Chayvi Krisus is derived from Chiyuv Mises Bezdin. And in case of a Safek, we're going to say that he has to pay. So now you're going to tell me that in a case of a Safek Chayvi Krisus, he doesn't have to pay. Dayel v'omen adin, lios kenod. U'besafek eino niftar. Now the Torah is mechadesh in Chivim Mises Bezdin, that he doesn't have to pay tashlum. Then the Torah says, but that doesn't apply in a case of a Safek. So what are you going to say in Karis? In Karis you're going to say that he's potter from Tashlumen because of Kimlei Merabine. How do you know this Kimlei Merabine in Chiyuv Karis? You only know it from Chiyuv Mises Bezdin. Well, Chiyuv Mises Bezdin, my friend, there's no Kimlei Merabine in the case of a Safek. So even though, again, logically, we would certainly come to the conclusion that we have a motzi mechaver and a bona fide suffix here, because we don't know what they're thinking up in Shamayim, what they know, their privy to information that we don't have. But nevertheless, we have a technical foul over here. Why? Because the only way that you can apply Kimlei Ravine is in a way that in its nadur, meaning in the av, it would apply as well. Well, what's your av? It's Chayvei Mises. And in Chayvei Mises, he has to pay Tashlum. There would not be Kimlei Ravine. So you can't have a situation where in Chayvei Krisis we apply Kimlei Ravine, but in the mother case, that's the case of Chayvei Misa, we're not going to apply Kimlei Ravine. You can't take Kimlei Ravine beyond its original. That's called Dayal of Haman Avdin Leos Kenon. So the original is Chayvei Misa. And if there's a limitation in the case of a Chiyuv Misa and you don't apply Kimlei Ravine, that limitation by definition has to apply even in its derivative case of Chayvei Krisis according to Rav Nachum Yehuda Kodah. So the derivative of the case cannot have a Kimlei Ravine which the original doesn't have. And if the original doesn't have Kimlei Ravine in a Safek, then for sure the derivation, meaning the case of Chayvei Krisis, which is derived from Chiyuv Misa, would also not have Kimlei to the Rami. So therefore his final conclusion here in this paragraph based on Rabbi Chanan is that to the same extent that in a Suffolk you'd be chayv to pay Tashlumin in Misa, so too in a case of a Suffolk in Kares you would have to pay the Knas, pay the Mom.
Really?
You'd have to pay the mama, and you cannot apply Kimlei to the Rami. Even though, again, logically, you should be able to apply Kimlei to the Rami here because there's enough of a suffix here to say that maybe he's Chayv Karis and therefore he's not Chayv Mama, and a motzi mechaver of a raya. But nevertheless, we cannot apply Kimlei to the Rami. It's afka of Kimlei to the Rami. Yeah.
So we're talking about where there were two people and he ran through a stone and he hit one of those two people. Okay?
Well, wait, let's not talk about two people because, alright, we can talk about two people. The case actually was there were more than two people because then we wanted to get a robe and then we wanted to say kavua.
Okay, whatever you want to say, but like this and that, same over the same question. The question is, there's three possibilities. Either he intended this one and it hit that one, he intended the one that it hit, or he didn't intend to hit either of them. He was just
We're talking about a case with the Raidim and Asra, so he definitely intended to kill one of them.
Well,
he doesn't care which one he kills. You know, he'll send another stone to kill the other one.
Yeah, but the difference might be if he didn't intend to kill either one of those two, just threw it in Stamazai, why would that would be a din like a Bor B'Shus Harabim?
Well, I don't know about Bor B'Shus Harabim, but that wouldn't be Ritzich at all. Our Chiddush here is that based on the principle of Kol Kavu Kemetzim Otsu Domi, he's not a Rotzeach. Right. You're talking about a case where you didn't intend to kill anybody. That's not
that's
at all.
One of the three possibilities, but we don't know which one it is, and how do we find out?
No, again, we're talking about a person who's chayav misa. If not for kol kavur kemetzah meltzadami, we would be machayav misa. If we could only apply the principle of rov, like take for example, there were 10 people. One of them is a Kenani. They started running, okay, and then he throws a stone. If he had Edom and Asro, we'll put him to death in that case. We will put him to death. Why? Because Achri Rabim Lahatos. And the Torah says we rely on Rov. So there's no, he had Edom, he had Asra. They told him, don't you dare throw this stone. And he threw it and he killed somebody. He's going to be put to death.
Okay, come
the
on,
only problem is, if they're Kavua, they weren't running around, then we're going to apply the principle of Suffolk Nefashis Lahokil.
Kavua doesn't mean anything then. I mean,
well, again, Kavana means that he has Kavana to kill somebody, and that's enough of a Kavana. It turns out that he killed a Jew. So he has no Tainus Patur here. But what he could tie is that there's a Suffolk here because of Kol Kavua Kemetz Ometz. But again, he had Edom and Asra, otherwise the whole sugi of Kol Kavua is totally irrelevant. If he threw it above the heads of these two people and a wind carried it and somebody died, that's not, I don't need Kol Kavua Kemetz Ometz.
Okay.
Now Rabbi Kivega says that Abal HaKusis is Ein Kanon Pogibo, because many of the Kusios during the time, the history of the Kusios, actually converted. And that makes it into a Suffolk. And if it's a Suffolk, then he has to pay the Knas. So the question now is, most of the girls were Kusios, were Nachrios. There were a few genuine, sincere conversions, or there was an admixture of Jewish blood through marriage, through this whole chol. But we definitely have a row. So now the question becomes, and it's a real strong kasha from Rabbi Cheskel Bornstein of the Mir. He says, how can Rabbi Kivega say that in such a case we don't apply the principle of Kanon Pogimbo? Why not? We have a rov. That rov tells me that she's a goyita. And if she's a goyita, then Kanon Pogimbo.
But that's
the whole, yeah, sorry.
That's a rov that's possible to be Mavarer. You could.
I guess not, because so many generations passed.
It sounds like the Reuben and Lesekhaman that they're talking about.
Yeah, there's so many generations. We'll get into this whole sugi of Kavu and Rov here, but just the premise here is that that we can be Machriya the Sufik based on Rov. And if we can be Machriya the Sufik based on Rov, then it should be Kanoim Pogimbo. Why does Rabbi Kivega assume up front that there's no Kanoim Pogimbo here because of Suffolk? What about Rove?
What was the history? Were they all converted, except we have a shash about the conversion? Or they were,
well, no, if you hold Gerei Arayah saying that we're not even choshish for the conversion. But the only thing is they became part of the Jewish community to some extent. And they were always considered a fifth column, but to some extent there was intermarriage, and they married into the Jewish.
There was no conversion.
But now, after generations go by, we're always afraid that one of these Kusios might have actually converted in a serious, sincere way. Or alternatively, if you go back to the original Kusim, maybe there were a few who were actually sincere, that weren't just running away from the lines, if you know what I mean. So now we have to apply the principle of Kol de Parish Meruba Parish, and we should go Basar Rov. To prove this, he quotes a Rambam about Asufi. This is a Rambam in the 15th parak of Yisuri Bia. And we're talking about a child that was found in the city, stranded in the city, left behind. And the city is a Jewish city. There's one non-Jewish family in the city, or one non-Jewish family that could bring children, could procreate into the world. Oh, now this Asufi, right, who's been found in a city that's a Jewish city. The only thing is that this Asufi, there's one Nachris. So the case of the Rambam, we can open up Yisuri Bia, is a Safek Eishes Ish. We don't know if the Asufi is Jewish, and therefore we don't know if his wife is an Eishes Ish, because if he's not Jewish, then his Kedushin is not Kedushin. So we have now here a Safek Eishes Ish. So again, we don't know if this Asufi is Jewish or not Jewish. If he's not Jewish, his Kedushin is not valid. And therefore, if somebody would have a relationship with his wife, the Asufi, Mrs. Asufi, we call her, he would not be Chayav Misa, because we don't know that she's an Eishes Ish, because we don't know the status of our husband, the Asufi, and whether his Kedushin is valid. So here's where we have a case where, although there is a Nachris somewhere in the city, but she's by far outnumbered, and 99.9% of the population is Jewish. So therefore we have a rov to assume the Asufi is Jewish, hence his wife would be an Eishes Ish. That in fact is the shita of the Ravid. And the Ravid says that we consider her as an Eishes Ish. Now, according to the Rambam, on the other hand, the Rambam says, "Ein kiddush of efshar." He says, "Efshar shasufi zehu ben nachris, v'ein kiddush of kiddushin, v'ein erogim aleha." So the Rambam is saying that we're not going to apply the principle of Rov. I mean, the Ravid is yelling and screaming. What about Rov?
And she is Jewish.
She's Jewish, but the question is she an Eishes Ish? She's married to Joe Asufi, and we don't know what his status is. Maybe he came from this one shifu who's in town, and he's not Jewish. So the Rambam says, once you raise that doubt and that suffix, then Habal Ishto, he's not Chayav Misa, because maybe she's married to an Asufi who's not Jewish. The Efshesh Asufi Zehu Ben Nochus, the Ein Kiddush of Kiddush. The Ravid says we go Basarov, yeah.
It seems like these are knowable pieces of information. We just don't have them right now. Whereas when you're talking about someone's kafana, it's not something knowable on earth.
Well, again, let's understand that at this point, again, if you want to bring it up again, we can talk about it, but we're not talking about kavana or not kavana. We're talking about two situations that seem absolutely identical. One is the status of a kusis, where most of the girls were kusios, but maybe her grandmother was a serious convert. So we should apply the principle of Rov, and if that be the case, then it's kanon pogabo. There's a chiv misa. And I'll give you an example. The Ravid, at least, would say that the marriage of a woman to an Asufi would generate a Chiv Misa based on the fact that there's a Rov that this Asufi is Yisrael, and therefore it's Kedusha, and therefore she's an Eishes Ish. V'ne'erogim aleha. And why is that? Because we would apply the principle of Rov. I mean, out of the entire city, there's one Shivka, one Nachris in the whole city.
Yeah.
She probably speaks Yiddish, right? She works as a maidservant in a Hasidic family. The whole city, it's all made up of Hasidim. But there's one Shifcha there. And now we find an Asufi in the street. We don't know if he's perhaps the son of this Shifcha. He goes in and marries a Jewish girl, and somebody has a relationship with this Jewish girl. And the Ravid says, we're going to put that person to death. Why? Because Rove tells me that this Asufi is an Asufi, is a Jew, correct? Because the city is made up totally exclusively of Jews. Let's apply the Ravid's logic to our case of a Kusis. Most of the girls out there who have a big chaf on their sweatshirt are not Jewish. Let's use Rove, just like the Ravid uses Rove to assume that the Asufi is Jewish. Let's assume that the Kusis is not Jewish. Again, it goes in the opposite direction, but it's the same principle. So his first answer is that maybe the rules and regulations of Kanoim Pogimbo that Rabbi Kiva is referring to are unique rules. Who and when can we apply and implement Kanoim Pogimbo? Well, the answer is, the Torah says it's not enough to rely on Rove. I mean, the Torah is the source for relying on Rove, but the Torah, you know, who most of them are Farik law, Amom or Behemom. The Torah says that in the case of Kanon Pogimbo, we're not going to apply Rove. You have to be absolutely 100% certain that this is a Jewish man who's about to have a relationship with a non-Jewish woman publicly. I mean, even the public nature of the Skiv Misa of Kanon Pogimbo is indicative that it has it beats to its own drum. If I'm not mistaken, there is a shita that says that Kanon Pogimbo only applies to someone who's on the level of Pinchas, who has absolute L'shem Shamayim. There are different rules and limitations to Kanon Pogimbo, so that's what Rabbi Kiva is saying. Rabbi Kiva is very much aware of the fact that the chance that this girl, this Kusis, is Jewish is statistically is highly improbable. But nevertheless, in Kanon Pogimbo, that's the precondition. You have to be Vadai and not leave any room for suffering. Again, Rabbi Akiva Eger is going to suspend Kanoim Pogimbo in the case of the Kusis based on some sort of far-out possibility that maybe somewhere along the line there wasn't a genuine, sincere Gerus. So this opens up a whole new vista in understanding Rabbi Kivega. Rabbi Kivega is not saying that, you know, since it's only a Suffolk Misa, we can't apply Timlev the Ravine and that whole, the whole 9 yards that we said before, that Suffolk is considered Vane, that he's not Chayv. Leave that out. Rabbi Kivega is just analyzing Kanon Pogumbo. And he finds that the Kanon Pogumbo only applies when it's an absolute 100% Vane.
So you have to know that she's not properly Jewish in order to be...
Correct, in order to apply Kanon Pogumbo. You have to be absolutely certain that she's not Jewish. That's what Rabbi Kivega is saying. And that's based on the rules that govern the limitations and conditions that apply to Kanon Pogumbo. Okay, now we're going to see the Ramah and hopefully the Shiariah Karban and the Mishnah Melech. Let's see. Number Mem Beis. You have it? He says the following. What do we derive from Rav Kivegan Naflo? That if there would be Kanoim Pogimbo, then there's no Chiv Tashlume Mamon based on Kim Lev the Rabbi name. So let's say, for example, a man is about to have Be'ila with a Nochris in public. And at that moment, he rips Shiraya. He would not have to pay damages because, according to Rabbi Kivega, Kanoim Pogumbo is just like a Rode. It's a Chiv Misa. And Memelai apply Kim Lev the Ravine. Yesh La'ayin Bozeh. Now we're beginning to question the very foundation of everything Rabbi Kivega was built on. Maybe it's possible that Kanoim Pogumbo, with all due respect, is not enough to generate a din of Kim Lev the Ravine. There are Mabis Sanhedrin because of the Hod Abrin and Hossam, the Im Nefach Zimri, Vahargal of Pinchas Eno Neragal of Lefisha Rodef. Do you remember this Ramah that we mentioned yesterday? I don't remember exactly in what page it was on, maybe Tzadi Aleph. And the Ramah says that if Zimri turns around and kills Pinchas, that's okay because Pinchas is a Rodef. And the reason for that, says the Ramah, is ein mitzvah larog. In the case of Kanon Pogumbo, there's no mitzvah to kill him. El rishus bi'alma, you only have rishus. Well, if you have rishus to kill him, then he has rishus to kill you, because habo l'harga chashkem l'harga. Shem shenita rishus l'pinchus l'haragas esimri, kach nitna torush, nasa torushus l'zimri, Larog Atzmo.
That's Pinchas.
Larog Atzmo.
I'm sorry.
Pinchas.
I'm sorry. I skipped a line here. He says the following: that since there's no mitzvah on the kanoi to kill the bow, as we called him yesterday, right? Mm-hmm. Is therefore the bow, being Zimri, he can turn around and kill Pinchas as a rodef. But lefit varov. Before the gam b'makom she'ein chiyuv misa l'gav, rak reshus shu hargo, nami mikri mechuyuv misa v'kimle b'derabim mine. In other words, what does Rabbi Kiva Eger assume here when he applies the principle of kimle b'derabim to Kanoim Pogimbo? Well, if we assume that Rabbi Kiva Eger is well aware of the sugyan Sanhedrin with the Ramah, let's assume for the time being, which means that there's no chiv, there's no mitzvah on Pinchas to kill Zimri, and Zimri therefore can turn around and kill Pinchas as a rodev. If that be the case, then there's no chiv misa, there's only reshus lahargo, and that's enough to generate a coin to Rabbi Kivega Kimlev the Ravine. That's why, you know, Rabbi Kivega has to force his back is forced against the wall. He has to assume that maybe she's not a kusis. I mean, she's not a nochris. Maybe she's an Israelis. All that is based on the assumption that Kanoim Bogimbo, for example, in a case where we knew for sure that she was a nochris, that would knock off the chiyuv tashlumin. And therefore, Rabbi Kivega doesn't understand our Mishnah, and hence he has to introduce the new element in the equation that maybe she's not a nochris. So that Rabbi Kivega assumes that Kanoim Pogumbo is enough to generate Kim Levi the Rabbi. if and when the conditions of Kanoi and Pogubo have been met. But that's strange, because Kanoi and Pogubo is not even a chiyuv, it's a rishus. Ah, once you have rishus lahargo, then we're going to apply the principle of kim lebe the rabbi. It's a really strange kind of halacha, because it always saying that there is a what's going on over here? The man has this public act of immorality with a nachris. So now there's rishus to kill him. Once there's a rishus to kill him, then what happens here? Then he doesn't pay damages. Why doesn't he pay damages? So I'm so used to the old way of thinking that there's a chiyuv misa here, but we're saying that Kanoi and Pogubo is not a chiyuv misa, it's only a license, a green light. So what's going to knock off the chiyuv moment over here? A man has a relationship with a nachris, and at the same time he rips shirayim, and we're saying that according to Rikki Vega he doesn't have to pay for the shirayim because kanoim pogimbo, which is only a rishus. If he was saying now according to the Ramah in Sanhedrin that there's no mitzvah to kill Zimri, so why is Zimri exempt from damages? You have to say because he's a bar misa.
Yeah, right.
Not that he's chayav misa because there's no mitzvah to kill him, but he's a bar misa.
And the guy Zimri, he's on the line 24 hours a day because somebody can try to kill him.
Well, no, I think the din of Kiev of Kanon Pogo is only before he implements. Once he does the misa,
okay. We
can't touch him.
I understand. So that's
if that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, right. But I wasn't only referring to that one case of that. But in any case, where it would be that it's a suffix in when you say kibbutz mirabi v'nei, because it was only rishus and not like you were saying, like the case of goli adam. The same sort of thing would be.
Oh, that's he's going to take up goli adam now. That's going to be his next major. Shall I say project is to figure out Gol Adam. That's on page Tzadi Hey, if you have these pages. Let's see if I can find it in my booklet. Where is
it? I can't find it
tonight. Oh, you don't have a booklet? I gave it out yesterday. You didn't get one.
I wasn't here yesterday.
Oh, no wonder.
It looks like he and I are sharing this.
Hey, listen to this.
Come the other day.
He says, Hine, Achronim Makshim Amai Itzrich Lekamon. Bedaflam and Hamid Aleph Letonid Bechizkia Liftar Rotzeach B'Shogeg B'Tashlumin, and it's based on a very complicated Hekesh of Maka Odom Maka Behemah. Technically, the Lav up to Potomim Tashlumin came into Rishus B'Agol Adam LaHargo. So a man kills someone B'Shogeg, and we have to have a whole derivation to prove and establish that he doesn't pay tashlumin. Of course he doesn't pay tashlumin. I don't need a pasuk for that. He doesn't pay tashlumin because there's rishus on the goal adam to kill him.
At any time.
Since there's rishus to kill him.
That's coming to be relevant.
Right. So it's like a razor mischai benafsho. Says lechor muchaf mikan the came with the kaimel under rishus biagol adam lahargo. Right, so are we going to apply kim leivderamin? So the gemara needs a pasuk here to establish kim leivderamin. So if not for the pasuk, there would not be kim leivderamin. Why not? So lechor the only answer is because he's not chayav to kill him. He only has rishus to him. That rishus is not enough to establish kim lev the rabbi.
I don't understand what that. Because the rotseach, or the I guess you call it the rotseach, the Gavigarod Seya, it's not, it is, it, it, he has, not, if, since he has Rishus at any time, he can be killed at any time.
By the Golden Dhamma.
Right. So,
do we say Kibbutz? We were saying, based on the Rebbe Kivenger back and on Pogumbo, that it's enough to have a Rishus to kill him to establish Kibbutz the Rabbi.
Exactly.
But then Rebbe Kivenger has to answer the following question. Why, in the case of Chayim Nisa Shogigin, does Gemara need some very sophisticated Yalfusa to establish that Kim Levi Rabbeinu applies? According to Rabbi Kivenga, Kim Levi Rabbeinu would apply simply because the Gol Adam has Rishus to kill this guy.
That's correct.
In other words, Reuven murdered Shimon Bishogig.
Right.
So we want to know if he has to pay damages to Shimon. I'll tell you why he doesn't have to pay damages. Because Shimon's brother Levi has a right to kill this Rotzeach, this Reuven. Right? Yeah. Reuven killed, you know, he fell off a high place and he killed him, whatever the case was. He's a Rotzeach for Shogun. Now the halacha is that he's exempt from, so Reuven is exempt from paying damage. So when Shimon fell off the ladder, he also ripped his clothing, right?
Yeah.
So he, the Yarshim of Shimon don't have a recourse to sue Reuven for damages on the clothing that he ripped. How do we know this? So the Gemara has a whole hekesh, because makish maka odem lamaka behemo. The ma maka behemo lo chilakabe in shogi lebezid. It's the whole nine yards. I don't need that. All I need to know is that Shimon has a brother. If he doesn't have a brother, he has a cousin. He has somebody on the face of the earth, unless he's a ger, I don't know. So there is a Gol Adam. That enough issue should explain why Reuven doesn't pay damages. Why do Gemara need this whole sophisticated Yalfusa? There's a whole shtick of Gemara here that's completely superfluous, according to Rabbi Kivenga. Because Rabbi Kivenga is willing to apply Kimli and Ramine, even in a case of Rishus. So going back to this paragraph that we were up to on Sadi Dali, he says, L'chor yesh l'chiyah kem yidiriyah Rambam. I'm going to prove to you that according to the Rambam, there is no mitzvah to kill Bekado and Pogumbo, you know, the Pinchas to kill Zimri. Sharei beperek alf milchus rotzeah kosav da'arodif ha'chakavei lahorgo kol Yisrael mitzuviv lahatzil hanir dof miyad harodev.
Yeah.
But when he spoke about
that's the opposite side of the coin.
When he spoke about Kanoi and Pogumbo, the Rambam never mentioned, never breathed a word about mitzvah lahar gobo.
It's not.
No, I'm saying in Kanoi and Pogumbo, the Rambam never said there's a mitzvah to kill this Boel Aramis. The Rambam never said such a thing. And the Ramah said that it's only Rishus to kill him. That's enough, according to Rabbi Kivenga, to set in motion Kim Lev the Rabbi. Alright, we're going to stop a little bit early today. I wanted to get to the Shiurei Karban, but I think I'll leave that for tomorrow. Let's make a note of where we got up to. And let me just ask you, what's your intuitive sense over here about someone there's a rishus to kill him, but there's no mitzvah to kill him? Should you apply kimle d'rabimi?
Yep.
You know, the classic case of chayvi misus, you know, bezdin, whether it's shogeg or mezid, is that there's a mitzvah to put him to death, or in the case of a rodef, we saw that that the rabbim says bob machteres is what was the rabbim's language is. Call Yisrael Mitzuvim Lahatzil Sanirda Finata Rode.
Right.
I mean, that to me is enough to justify a king like the Rami. This is a mitzvah to kill the guy. But in the case where there's only a Rishus, if we go like the Yad Ramah in Sanhedrin regarding a Kanoim Pogumbo situation, it's only a Rishus. It bothers me that we extend and we apply the principle of Kibbutz Rami.
Well, isn't there a difference when whether the person that is under the possibility of being killed, whether he has a right to defend himself or not?
Again, if there's a mitzvah to kill him, then he has no right to defend himself.
That's correct.
But if he has no mitzvah, it's only Rishus, he has a right to defend himself.
That's right, that's correct.
So for example, in Kanon Pogumbo, the Yad Ramah says that Zimri can turn around and kill, in self-defense, he can kill Pinchas.
Right.
In the case of a Rodev, he would have no right.
Right.
He would have no right to kill those who are trying to kill him, because they have a mitzvah to kill him. Oh, what about in the case of Bava Machteres?
Yeah.
That would be interesting. In Bava Machteres,
he has no right to defend.
Lechora, it's not a mitzvah, right? But what does the Rambam say about Bava Machteres? This is around Perek Tes Milchus Gneiva Alocha Zayin. He says, Rishus Lekol Adam Lahargo. He has a right mitzvah Lahargo.
It depends on the way in or the way out.
But that depends upon whether in Barur Lecha that he's coming out in this case in the Fashod.
Yeah.
You can't know that from the day.
From the way out.
Well,
apparently,
if he's armed, right. You know, and if it's not a son coming to a father, or the other way around, a father coming to a son, I should say.
Right.
Then, right, then the Torah says knock him off. You know,
right,
you kill the guy.
Right.
But again, I don't think for one moment there's a mitzvah to kill him. You know, you can stay in bed and cover yourself, you know, put your earplugs in, and let the guy steal whatever he wants to steal.
The Levater.
The Rambam's language is Rishus Lakol Lahargo. But why didn't the Rambam use the same language that he used in Pelek Alf Milchus Rotzeach with regard to a Rodev, where he says, Hakol Mitzuvim Lahargo? Here in Bar Machteres in Hilchos Gneiva, the Rambam says Rishus Lekol Lahargo.
Yeah, because
now we have a tradition that the Rambam is very meticulous about his choice of language. There's a clear cut conscience between the two.
Yeah, because
now in the case of Bar Machteres, he doesn't pay damages to Bar Machteres.
That's right, and that's because the reason is because we're assuming that under dangerous circumstances he would kill.
Yes.
Correct. But and that enough gives us a rishus to kill him.
Right, it does. But it's a rishus. It's only rishus.
And yet, nevertheless, afilu haki kamalan davot machteres v'shimer kelim partu the kibbutz the rabbin. So you see that as long as it's a quasi chiyuv misa, meaning a license to kill him, that's called a rishus. Right. That's enough to generate or activate the principle of kibbutz the rabbin.
It still doesn't give you permission to go and kill somebody without reason.
I didn't mean to say so.
I'm
just saying that we now have a clear-cut precedent that even in case of Rishus Lahargo, we apply the principle of Kibbutz the Rabbin.
Yeah, but by Goel Adam, that's the next case, right? We're talking about Goel Adam. The Goel Adam has a Rishus to kill, doesn't have a Chiyuv to kill.
That's true. And that was the language of the Rambam that we saw on page Tzadi Hey, am I right?
I think so.
Where was the Rambam? Let's just read that Rambam again. Just give me a second here to juggle my... actually, I can use the book, the original. And the Rambam, with regard to... What was the case that took me at Goel Adam?
Goel Adam.
Yeah, so the Rambam's language was in Goel Adam. Where is it? Why don't I find it right now? I just read it to you, right? About a minute ago. But now I'm not finding it. Here it is on Tzadi Hey. Right. Yeah, Rishus Biyad Goel Adam Laragas, I would say, but it's not a mitzvah, it's only Rishus. Right.
As opposed to Rodev.
Rodev is the only exception of all the cases that we had. There's a mitzvah Lahargo.
There's a Chiyuv.
Right, but not in Kenon Pogumbo, not in the case of Goel Adam,
right.
Not in the case of Bava Machteres. In all those cases we said.
The suffix is that it's possible that it might lead to a fatal outcome by the perpetrator, but not necessarily. But in the case of Rodev, the chances are very likely that if you're not going to kill the Rodev, the Rodev's going to kill the Nirda.
Right. Yeah. And therefore it's a mitzvah, you say?
That's why it's a mitzvah.
Right. But Bo Machteris, he's not confronting you yet. Right now, you're up in your bed. So you don't have a mitzvah to kill him. You have an option to kill him, but you don't have to do that. But it seems that Kimlei Ramine, both in terms of Bo Machteris and Rabbi Kibbein, they're both assuming that as long as you have a Shus Lahargo, we're going to apply the principle of Kimlei Ramine. I find that counterintuitive. I don't know. That doesn't sit so well with me. Do we have a minute for the Shari? So we don't have time for the Shari Kar, but just take a look at it with your eyes, superficially, on page Tzadi Dalid. The Shari Karban wants to say that, in fact, our Mishnah is talking about a case of Tzina, that he's Baal Akusis B'Tzina, there are no Asara B'nei Onam, and therefore there's no Din of Kanoim Pogimbo. So he's operating with the same premise as Rabbi Kibbein, that Kanoim Pogimbo is enough to engender or activate the principle of Kimlei D'Rabbani. It just says here, there's no Kanoim Pogimbo. Not for the same reason as Rabbi Kibbein, who operates with Sofei, and for some reason Rabbi Kibbein is not willing to say, let's use Rove, but rather he's operating with the principle that we're talking about Tzina, and if we're talking about Tzina, then hence there's no Kanoim Pogimbo. So should we say the following? If there would have been 10 people there, we would have had a principle of Kanon Pogimbo. So the Maisa of Be'ila with the Nachris really, in a sense, lends itself to a Chiv Misa, if there only would have been 10 people. Can we compare it, therefore, to the case of Chayav Misa Shogigin, where had he been amazing, we would put him to death, and hence we activate the principle of Kimlei D'Rabbani. He says, Keva de Ika Misa, in other words, on this act of Be'ilu with the Nachris, Ilu Hayusham Asara. Therefore, he should be part of paying damages, Af below Bifne Asara. The Shiari HaKarban is not willing to go that way. The Shiari HaKarban is going to say the following, that there's no Kanoim Pogimbo. Why? Because there's no Asara. And if there's no Asara, therefore he pays Knas. There's no Ptur of Kimlei D'Rabbani. We could have argued that since there could have been Asara, that's enough to indicate that the Maisa that he's doing in potential would be a Chiyuv Misa, and we would have had Kanoim Pogimbo. And the same thing applies in the case of a Chiyuv Misa Shogim. We say that they were going to activate Kimlei D'Rabbani, because had we given him an Asra, and we would have established that he was amazing, then he would be Chiyuv Misa. So we're allowed to say this theoretical, had there been. So that's why we say Chayav Misa Shogin of Ptur Min HaTashlumin. And as a counter argument to the Shari Karban, we could say that in the case of a Baal HaNachris, had there been Asara, he'd be Chayav Misa B'Toras Kanon Pogimbo, and that's enough to apply the principle of Kimlei D'Rabbani. Yeah, we didn't go through the Shari Karban thoroughly, but I'm just telling you, you know, Mibachutz. All right, let's see if they're up to Minchiyet. We'll turn on the...
They should just change the message.